Hello, everyone. Welcome to our call today. This is Kurt Mortensen as we talk about persuasion, motivation, and influence, self-persuasion, and things that will just make you better overall and more influential as we get into it. So welcome to all the new people that are on. So many of you are listening via the net. You can send your questions via whypersuasion.com. That's where the replay will be at. You can answer your questions via the phone line. So let's get into it. The outline is pretty simple. We're going to spend 15, 20 minutes talking about a topic of success, and then we'll take questions about either the topic today or things that you're running into in the world of persuasion and influence. So here's the thing I want you to think about, things you need to write down, things you need to ponder. Here it is that if you can't persuade yourself, you're not very good at persuading other people. And it's one of those things that people tend to work on last. They think they're doing okay. They got to hurry, work on this. But the reality, I want to talk a little bit about self-persuasion, or what I've also called millionaire IQ. Because many of you have financial goals. It could be 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, whatever it is. It doesn't really matter. But you have to realize that the universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. So until mentally you've become a millionaire, whatever that amount is, it doesn't really matter. Because I know you've met people out there that didn't seem that sharp, that were making 10 times more money than you're making. And you're like, whoa, what's going on? Not only that, they have half the education, they start with more debt, they're working one-third of the time, and now they're successful. What are they doing that the average person's not doing? And I've talked a lot about persuasion IQ, but your millionaire IQ is very similar. You want to become a millionaire, multimillionaire, whatever it is, you start thinking, acting, and doing what other millionaires do. That is reality. That's how it works. We need to talk about self-persuasion. And self-persuasion is a huge piece to what you need to do. Doesn't matter how good your offer is, if you can't motivate yourself, if you can't persuade yourself, if you can't do the things you know you need to do, it's going to really hold you back. So let's talk about a few of these things that will help you out and realize how important this is. For example, if I had a computer, say I bought the fastest computer on the market, biggest hard drive, biggest RAM, whatever it is, if I didn't have software to run it, it would just sit there and do nothing and gather dust. And so we're talking about your software, your brain software, what that means to you. First thing I want you to think about is, write down the word tea, just like the drink, T-E-A. And this is what it means. Your thoughts control your emotions. Your emotions control your actions. Thoughts control your emotions. Emotions control your actions. So if you want to control your actions, your future, your income, you have to start controlling your thoughts. And most of your thoughts are negative. I don't know if you've ever done the rubber band test before where you snap yourself every time you have a negative thought. People don't last very long because most of your thoughts are very negative, and you got to change the way you think. You got to change the way you program yourself. Taking a computer, no, let's talk about a football quarterback, professional football quarterback. When they get on the field, what are their thoughts? Oh, what if I blow it? What if it doesn't work? What if they boo me? What if I throw an interception? What if they're paying me too much money? No, they're thinking about winning. And that's all they're thinking about, winning, throwing the perfect pass. It's all they're thinking about. Even as I train people to do public speaking and do persuasive presentations, you know, it's one of the number one fears. And what's going through their brain? Oh, what if I forget? What if they don't like me? What if I drool? Or what if I, you know, you just put a list, and that's what you get. If you're worried about being scared or forgetting or nobody like you or not blowing your presentation or not being persuasive, ding, 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 that's what you get. So you have to be very careful of those thoughts. Thoughts are things. Thoughts will create your reality. And repeat that phrase from the beginning. The universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. This is important. Your thoughts matter. Your thoughts are very, very important. Because these thoughts help what they do is they tend to trigger beliefs. And beliefs is a big part of what you're doing in your success. Now, the challenge for most people, a couple challenges. The first one is most people don't realize is when people are in first and second grade, this is true for you, When you're told something, it becomes a belief. There's nothing you can do mentally, cognitively to refute it. If you're told you're smart, strange, weird, dumb, ADD, if you're just told money's the root of all evil, whatever it is, it becomes a belief. Excuse me. So a lot of people have conflicting beliefs, and that's why they're hitting their target. So if you haven't hit your financial goal yet, it's because you have conflicting beliefs. If I shoot a torpedo at a target and it has two guidance systems telling you what to do, it'll never hit the target. And it's amazing the beliefs people have about money. They don't even know it. What your parents believed about money is your belief. It's in there. 75% of what your beliefs come from your parents just growing up. 75% when you look at politics and religion, for example, 75% chance is exactly the same as your parents. Now, the 25% is the opposite, but that's a whole other story. So what are your conflicting beliefs, especially about wealth? Oh, money's the root of all evil. Well, no, that's not what it says. It says the love of money. Well, you have to have college education. No, not necessarily. It takes money to make money. No, you can use other people's money. Well, I have to have a large corporate job. Job security. No, that's not job security. Well, wealthy people are selfish and greedy. No, they're the ones giving most money to charities. I mean, these are knee-jerk reactions. Beliefs are important. What are your fundamental beliefs about success? I have to work hard. No, you need to work smart. What are your fundamental beliefs about success? What are your fundamental beliefs about money? Because it matters. You might not even know that you have conflicting beliefs, but that is one of the things that takes people back. That's why it's so important in a persuasion call to talk about self-persuasion and your millionaire IQ. So thoughts are critical. You have to understand beliefs. These are foundation ingredients. The next one we need to really understand is fear. Fear is critical. How much does fear cost you in your life? What are the top fears out there? Fear of failure, obviously. Fear of success, amazingly, is the top fear. Really, people are afraid of a big home and a nice car and great vacations. No, they're afraid of maintaining it. They're afraid of their family and friends are going to say. Fear of criticism. That is a huge one. And as you study and I look at great, successful people, millionaires, yeah, they have a list of people who told them they couldn't do it. And fears is one of those things. You just do it. So, okay, so what? Fear criticism. No matter what you do, people will criticize you. No matter what your plans are, people will criticize you. You can give a perfect presentation and someone will find something wrong with it. That's just reality. That's just how it is. They might not like you because you drive a nicer car than them. They might not like you because you're healthier or leaner or have more muscle. That's just how people are. Like one thing that happened to me, I was visiting my parents in Southern California for the holidays. It was December, and it was December 26th, and they're driving to the airport. I had my daughter at the time was 5 years old. She was small, cute, petite little thing, so we're driving to the airport. Turning in the rental car, I look at my ticket. It said, seat to be assigned. I'm like, wow, that's not good on the heaviest travel day of the year. And I just said a holiday cheer had left the building. That's all I'm going to say. Holiday cheer had left the building. We get there. I figure I'm going to be bumped. I mean, that's usually what happens. And then I get the announcer comes on. Mr. Mortensen, Mr. Kurt Mortensen, please, can you come to the podium? I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? And my option was the next flight. I get up there, and the young lady, she had this kind of a long look on her face. I'm like, ooh, I'm in for it now. Maybe I won't even get out today. She says, Mr. Mortensen, would you mind, would you be upset? And her long face kind of turned into a smile. She says, would you mind, would you be upset if we upgraded your whole family to first class? I'm like, that would be awesome. That's not something you really need to think about. So they did. They said, first class is already boarded. Here are your new tickets. You're the last ones to board. So I grabbed their stuff and boarded. And the compartments in first class were full, the overhead compartments. And so I put my stuff behind the curtain there in the coach. Not thinking much of it, and I took an aisle seat. My wife took a window seat. My daughter took a my wife was by the window, and my daughter took an aisle. So here's this small, cute, petite little girl in this large first-class chair. They brought her cookies and sodas. Really doting on her. It was a lot of fun. But then coach started to board. Let me ask you this. You think they were happy for my daughter? No, I saw some interesting emotions, anger, frustration, resentment, general meanness. I'm thinking, whoa, time out. Can't anybody pay for a first-class ticket? Yeah, there's no special license you need, no special permission. Human nature is people would rather resent the person sitting there than paying the price to get it. And you understand that in your pursuit to success. And then we landed. I went by the curtain. I was very polite. I said, excuse me, sir. I tried to get my bags. He looked at me and says, you know what? You're not first class. You're no class. Wow. What do you say to that? And the answer is nothing. You move on. Who knows what's going on? You learn right here, right now, to follow your heart. Because every millionaire has a list of people who told them it wouldn't work out. And you just learn to follow your heart. Fear, you know, find the fear. You do it anyway. You make sure it happens. You can't let fear hold you back. Because you're only born with two fears. Every human only has two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. That's it. That's all your fears. So all these fun little fears that are holding you back, you've learned them. So the good news is you can unlearn them. Remember how important that is. Another aspect here with understanding our mindset and getting programmed the right way. And if you're wondering what's taking so long, you guarantee it's between your ears. Because what you've learned about success and wealth from society, from the people around you, most of it's probably been wrong. You need to learn to visualize. You need to learn to program your subconscious mind. You need it to become so real that what actually happens, it's not that big of a deal. And here's an example. Olympic athlete wins a gold medal. How many times have they seen that in their mind? Thousands. To the point where they'd expected it when it was already a done deal. They've seen it so many times. And when my first book came out, I tell family and friends, I'm going to make it a bestseller, bestseller, bestseller. Yeah, yeah, how's your bestseller coming? And when it actually did, they did call, some did call to congratulate me, some didn't. But it was like, I'd moved on. I'd already seen that. I was on working on another goal. I don't want to be anticlimactic, but that's how powerful it is. You need to be able to see it. You also need to figure out, too, your purpose and your passion. What is your purpose? What is your passion? How can you tap into that when you need the motivators? How can you really dream and dream big? And it's okay to dream. It is okay to dream. As Henry David Thoreau says, it's okay if you built castles in the air. Your work need not be lost. That's where they should be. Now, put a foundation under them. You're like, well, what does that mean? Well, this is what it means. Dream. Have a castle there. That's okay. Put a foundation under and make sure that you can do that. And part of it is finding your purpose and your passion. I love what my friend Mark Victor Hansen says. He says, you know, we're all DNA coded for greatness. And you are. So what is your purpose? What is your passion? Let's help you out with that a little bit. You say you're 95 years old. You've lived a perfect life. What's your eulogy going to say? You pick up a lamp on a deserted beach and a genie comes out and says you get one wish. But this wish has stipulations. The genie says, you can change one thing in the world. So the question is, if you could change one thing in the world, what would it be? Or I could ask you, what would you do if you could not fail? What would that be? Or, strange Uncle Frank's passed away, left you $10 million. Don't need to work anymore. Got $10 million in the bank. You've already traveled the world. You've already done your plastic surgery. Done. What are you going to do? How are you going to give back? Who are you going to help? Something to think about, because when you've tapped into that, you don't need an alarm clock to wake yourself up in the morning. Motivation is easy. Very, very easy. So the goal here, what you need to think about, is these million-dollar habits. What are these million-dollar habits that you need to create that you're missing? Start thinking, acting, and doing what millionaires do. So 90% of your behavior is based on routines and habits. Our brain likes to create habits. That's why it gets easily addicted sometimes to habit. It's easy to do. That's why even in the persuasion process, a lot of it just happens subconsciously. It's just a natural thing. So habits are important. Beliefs influence habits. And these beliefs, like we talked about, you picked up. And so you have to figure out, okay, what habits do you need to do? Because, you know, when we're deep in debt or have weight to lose or other addictions that are hurting us back, might have taken 2 years to get to that point. I mean, if you're 20 pounds overweight, it could have taken you 10, 20 years to get there. You're not going to lose it overnight. But it's a little thing. I read a study once. I wish I could remember, but it's like an extra peanut M&M, right, a day above what your caloric intake should be. It was like 5-10 pounds after so many years. It was just amazing how that little thing over time can really do, you know, if you're deep in debt, it didn't happen overnight. So I love the Chinese proverb that says 3 feet of ice does not result from one day of freezing weather. That's true with your habits. And so you got to ask, where are your habits taking you? What habits are holding you back? And then why did you start this habit? What are the consequences? And the key thing with a habit is how you're going to replace it. Don't just change your, don't just stop, replace it. If you have a bad habit of eating ice cream late at night in front of the TV, what are you going to replace that with? Going for a walk? Exercising? At least maybe exchange it with frozen yogurt so it's not quite as bad. You know, you choose, but you have to understand the importance of habits and what they're doing to you. Because instead of trying to drop all your bad habits at once, try replacing each of them with something else. You know, pick other activities that you enjoy that are fulfilling and tend to be more productive. That is why it's important. So just something to think about, your self-persuasion, your mindset. For those that have it, I would listen to Millionaire Psychology. Those audios are in your materials. Millionaire Psychology will really help you out to get you start thinking, acting, and doing what other millionaires do. Why do they accomplish so much more in half the time? And it's an open book test. All the answers are there. There's no special license that you need. I got a question here. Remember, you can send questions through whitepersuasion.com or you can ask them right over the phone. I know a lot of you are on replay or doing it via the net. Kurt, how does self-esteem impact your ability to start thinking and acting like a millionaire? Well, that's a good question. I like that. 10 points for that question. Well, first of all, definition, the generic definition of self-esteem is how much you like yourself. And self-esteem is an all-time low, number one. And number two, we all suffer from low self-esteem, whether it's in a swimsuit, whether it's working out, whether it's jogging, whether it's public speaking. It's just how it is, right? It's how it is. And we're all in denial about it a lot of times, and we cover it up with ego. We cover it up with pride sometimes. Oh, I've got a better car. I've got a better home. I've got a bigger degree. I'm the boss. We all tend to cover up self-esteem. In fact, if you want more information on that, the law of esteem and magnetic persuasion, we'll go into more detail about that. In fact, the interesting thing is if a company asks me to come and do self-esteem training, that's tough. No one comes to that. So you have to call empowerment or advanced success skills or something like that because no one wants to admit they suffer from low self-esteem. And so the way you feel about yourself, how much you like yourself, is a big part of this. Because if you're not doing the things you know you're capable of doing, if you know you're skimping by, if you know if you have an addiction, you're watching too much TV, or whatever it is, that sucks the life out of you. So the challenge is what to do with that. So persuading other people I won't get into today, that's in the law of esteem. But how do you know if you have low self-esteem? That was the next question. Well, you do. There you go. Now you know. Now, people, and it's also that there's some symptoms that you can look for low self-esteem, inability to trust others, gossiping, that's low self-esteem. When you have to push others down to feel better about yourself, that's low self-esteem. Scarcity mentality, there's not enough to go around, resentment, concern with who is right versus what is right. You might see them always comparing themselves to others. And that's the challenge you have to realize is that we are programmed to always compare ourselves to other people's strengths. We compare our weaknesses to other people's strengths, right? That's what we do. And the media sucks the life out of it. It gives us a low self-esteem because it tells us how to smell and how to act. The sitcoms are telling us what reality is when they're not. You have the school system saying there's only one answer versus really teaching people to think. You know, procrastination, quick to be offended. All those, something to take a look at, but it's something that we work on. You know, so how do you boost your self-esteem? Well, first you come back to your self-talk that we talked about. Realizing that the media is portraying false hopes. It's not reality. Realize that people will pull you down no matter what. So it is something that may to be aware of and be to say for all of us to work on and even for those around you, but definitely something that does affect your millionaire IQ. Good question. Any other questions? Okay, here about the eulogy. Now, what I mentioned about the eulogy, finding purpose and passion, let me just put it in a different way. If you really want to do this exercise, you're 95 years old, you live the perfect life, you've achieved all your dreams and your goals, write your eulogy. What is it going to say? Don't have someone else write it, you write it yourself. So I should have probably clarified that a little bit better. Good question. Any other questions? So what about habits? So Kurt, how do I know what to replace my habit with? Yes. I guess it depends what it would be. If it's like the ice cream, frozen yogurt, is that still too many calories? Do you need to go for a walk? Or replace it. If it's smoking, replacing it with gum. If it's watching too much TV, you're replacing it with reading a book. If it's the having a better personal development program, you're instead of the radio, listening to CDs in your car. Just make it just a little notch better, a little bit better, so you can improve yourself. And that's something you'll probably have to figure out on your own. Next question is about rationalization and success. Now, that's a big part of success. You have to be accountable. Say I'm teaching a success seminar. I ask people to list the 10 reasons they're not as wealthy or successful as they want to be. It's interesting. Very few people will put themselves. So you got to be accountable. Where you are right now, your bank account, all your challenges, all your problems, take ownership. You did it. Okay, it's done. I know you can point fingers. I know you can blame the economy. I know. No, when you blame somebody, you make it somebody else's fault and you don't have to fix it. You've got things you need to fix. We all do. It's just how it is. So you need to realize that's how it works and to stop rationalizing and take action. Well, I don't have time now, or as soon as the economy gets better, or my spouse, my partner, they really don't care right now, and I'm too tired, I don't feel well. When I lose weight, I'm going to do it. Well, sometime I'll look for a new job. I'll start it later. I tried it once before. It's too expensive. It won't work. I mean, we can do that all day long. The reality is, I learned this from my early mentor, Jim Rohn, is that you're either going to have excuses. You only need one. There's always excuses, but you only need one big reason to be successful. Because we can have excuses all day long. We can rationalize all day long. We can stay in our comfort zone all day long, but then you'll be broke all day long. You'll never be successful. Because you can't blame other people. I know it's fun. I know it makes your self-esteem feel better, as we talked about self-esteem. But it's not going to matter. Albert Hubbard once said, there's always been a mystery to why people spend so much time deliberately fooling themselves by creating alibis to cover up their weaknesses. If your time was used differently, this would cure the weakness. No alibis or excuses would be needed. And that goes back to what the famous coach John Wooden says. He says, nobody's defeated until he starts blaming somebody else, whether it's a team sport, whether it's persuasion, whether it's sales. We see it all the time with sales professionals. Oh, my area, I need better training. I need more tools. The economy, the industry's slow. I got the worst territory. My boss doesn't like me. My spouse, you know, you can go on and on. It just doesn't matter. Just acknowledge your failures because it'll happen. Own up to them. Just like the Chinese proverb says, a fallen ditch makes you wiser. So think about how that works. Any other questions? All right, I got one coming in here about millionaire IQ and wealth. The question's about happiness. Do these things truly make you happy? Does money make you happy? It's kind of a long question, let's put it. Well, a lot of people, money doesn't buy happiness. You've heard that before. Is that true? What do the studies show? Well, money doesn't necessarily help you find happiness, but it helps you get things to do. But the studies do show that those that are wealthier tend to be happier. Now, I'm not talking about movie stars. Okay, I'm not talking about trust fund babies. Let's put them in a separate category. I'm talking about self-made millionaires. So let's think about this for a second. You don't have to worry about retirement. You're spending more time with your family. You're spending more time giving back to a charity. You're probably exercising more. You're probably eating better. You're not worrying about the bills. Someone else takes care of that. I don't put money in. You're happier. But realize, too, money makes you more of what you already are. Excuse me. If you're miserable and you get wealthy all of a sudden, you're just going to be more miserable. So we work on happiness along the way. And I hate to break the news to you, but you can't get out of life alive. 95% of those that win over $1 million in a lottery will be bankrupt in 5 years because they don't have that mindset. There's something about wealth and success. So you need to think about happiness and what it takes to be happy. And I'm not talking about material things. That's temporary happiness. I'm talking about true happiness, how you feel about yourself in the future. I think the best example is Viktor Frankl. I don't know if you've ever read his book, Man's Search for Meaning. He says happiness is a condition rather than a destination. Happiness cannot be pursued. The more we aim at happiness, the more we miss our aim. There's a reason for happiness. Happiness ensues. And this way, love, he says, it's a side effect for having a purpose and meaning to life. That purpose, that passion, you're moving. And he was in a concentration camp. And he realized the only thing he couldn't take away from him was his thoughts and being happy. In a concentration camp, death all around him. It's just an amazing story on how he's able to tap into that. So happiness can be there. The subsequent question is, as far as why aren't we happy? Well, that's a topic for another call, but usually it's no purpose or passion, no exciting goals. Some of the happiest times of your life, you're pursuing exciting goals. And sometimes you have goals that might, we talk about conflicting beliefs, talk about conflicting goals. You know, I want to be successful in my career, but I want to be the best dad ever. Do those conflict? Yeah, they could. I want to be happy, but I want to be spiritual. Now, they don't conflict, but they could conflict for you. For example, I want to be a successful author, trainer, public speaker. I travel quite a bit, but I want to be there for my children every night and tuck them in. See all their sporting events. Does that conflict? Yeah. So, do I have a perfect solution? No, I travel less in the summertime. I try to minimize my travel over to Asia. Not a perfect solution, but I'm addressing it, and it does change, you know, how we think of things. So the message today, overriding, underline it, the universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. Create it. Work on your millionaire IQ. Work on your thoughts. Work on your beliefs. It'll make a biggest difference. And people do work on it last. And I was that guilty person at the seminar, these millionaires talking about vision, mindset, and goals. So I'd say, yeah, whatever, give me the tools. Those are the tools. Those are the most important tools, and that's why we're spending time with it today. So thanks for being on the call today. Remember, questions are posted at whywhypersuasion.com. The replay will be there too. Contact information, anything you need. Thanks for being on the call today. Work on that. The one thing I want you to be aware of today is be aware of your thoughts a little bit more and where they are taking you, how they are making you feel. Remember, thoughts control your emotions. Emotions control your actions. So go out there and persuade with power. Thanks for being on the recording and the call on via the net, and we'll talk to you next week. Kurt Mortensen signing out.